Hi, welcome to the UCB Theater podcast for the week of approximately October 24th.
About there, yes.
Across from me is the wet-suited Will Hines.
And across from me is John Frusciante, who looks normal.
I don't question your choice to wear a wetsuit at all, by the way. And we are here with Craig Rowan and Chris Kelly, two of the writers of This Show Will Get You High.
Hello,
gentlemen.
Hello.
I thought you meant wet suit, like he was wearing a suit that was wet, not
a
wet
sopping suit. Wet normal suit. Wet.
No, it's, yeah. There might be one under that. You guys are two of the writers of This Show Will Get You High, Comedy Central special.
That's right.
Airing this weekend and...
this week.
This week, yeah. And there's tons of UCB people involved in this, especially Matt Besser and then you two and a lot of other folks.
Yeah, a lot of great people.
We'll get through a number of them.
Should we tell them when it's going to air?
Let's do that. When is the show on?
You should check it out. It's on Comedy Central Wednesday, the 27th of October, 3 a.m.
Yep. And Thursday, the next day, the 28th at 4:30 a.m.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what the show specifically is?
It's really fun. It's basically like a sketch show. I think Matt Besser wanted to do sort of like a feeling like an on the road kind of like sketch group. So it's basically a series of like comedy sketches, and then connecting them are. We filmed two versions of the show, basically. A sketch show where, like, the interstitials were a live show in front of an audience, so it had the kind of fun live show feel, and then a version where we filmed a bunch of, like, man-on-the-street things at, like, different fun events around California. We filmed two different versions, and I think Comedy Central picked the live show connectors, but I don't know. The show just has, like, a really, like, fun feel, I guess.
Yeah, and it's an awesome group of performers that are in it, so it's like... I don't know, some of the best, like Brett Gelman, John Gemberling, Betsy Sidaro, Paul Rust, and Besser.
And it's just, it was like a really good group of like improvisers.
Yeah, so it was awesome. Sort of, we went out to LA to write for the show, and we didn't know who the cast was when we got there, but it was like every time we'd hear a new name, it was pretty exciting for us, too.
The videos have been on ucbcomedy.com, and they're hilarious. They're, like, awesome sketches we've been showing in this week as previews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them are great. They just put up the LA Marathon one, which was one of the ones. I was there for the shoot. You were there for the shoot, which was awesome.
Yeah. So when did this all go down? Was this, like, last March, I think, or something like that? Or when were you guys out there?
March and April, I think. I think we filmed it, like, the end of April. But it was cool because as we were writing, we were filming a lot of it too. So there's tons of stuff that didn't make it even into the show, which is what the stuff is that's going online. So we filmed like the whole time we were out there, we were writing. And then like if we weren't writing on the weekend, we would find like some event like the LA Marathon or like we were there for St. Patrick's Day or a Comic-Con. And we would just go either with like a small group or a bigger, more professional group and just like film and just see what we'd get. So it was kind of cool. So we had like hours and hours and hours of footage. Yeah,
that's great. And how much of it was, when you go into an event, like you went to the marathon or Comic-Con, there's a couple of those videos on UCB Comedy now. What is the planning like going into that in terms of writing, logistics, and things like that?
Some were a little more on the fly and some were pretty planned out. I mean, like for the marathon, we kind of came up with a general joke that we were going to like picket the marathon as if, you know, we were picketing gays basically and like wrote signs and stuff. But
there were some, like we did one, I think the first shoot was that St. Patrick's Day one, which was like a really lo-fi version. It was sort of like a practice for the bigger stuff. And that was just, I think it was just us two, Gelman, Betsy, and maybe and one or two like Robert and
Eva Anderson.
And we went out and it was crazy. I mean, we pre-planned some stuff. Like we'd in the room, we'd come up with like jokes or ideas, and we'd sort of see how they played out. But once you go to like St. Patrick's Day, and people are just trashed and assholes, like you have to change the plan a little bit.
We kind of like make a long list of things or like jokes we could do or like bits we could do, and then we would just when we'd see like how drunk and idiotic people were, we would just be like, this one's not gonna work.
There was one great one though where it was just just Gelman walking. We'd interview Betsy. Would interview some like a group of two people. Gelman would just sort of saunter up there, looking really sick, and just barf on the ground. Like have like we put like I forget what the barf was. Like this hammy soup stuff.
Oh, and it was oatmeal, I think. And it's the only thing that made it into the final pilot. It's just 22 minutes of him barfing.
Just a slow mo version of him barfing. But the reactions were fun. It was so great. Like it was so fun being there doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then we also, like, on the days of the shoot, like, when we would go to some of the bigger things, like, we went to Comic-Con and, what else did we do? Comic-Con
we did the,
and,
Grand Prix
yeah, yeah, the Grand Prix and things like that. We traveled in a big, RV. So we filmed, like, a lot of things, like, some of those, videos are on UCB Comedy where we just filmed and we rode in an RV and just, like, filmed sketches there too. Mm-hmm. So, like, literally the entire time we were working, we were also just, like, filming random bits just to see what would work. And I think some of the funniest, weirdest stuff was stuff we filmed in that RV.
Mm-hmm.
So
there were so many great people who wrote for it. And here at the theater, we see so many funny people doing lots of stuff on the stage and putting together shows like for Maud Night, which are all hilarious. And then they just kind of vanish into the ether, you know, unless somebody's heads up enough to record them. And then, of course, recording stage stuff is challenging and tough. So this is cool to see, like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like that Gelman bit at a parade is something that he and John Daly would have done for a cracked out show like a couple years ago or something. Yeah. So to have it like on TV with like it with you know with a production budget behind it is fun.
And I will say Besser was like really great about it in that like there were certain points like in the writing process where it became really clear Comedy Central like wasn't going to dig a certain sketch or it was like too dark or weird. It just wasn't going to make the show for some reason. But he would still be like, oh, here, take this crew and go make it yourself and we'll still help you film it. So we got so many videos.
Yeah.
And so many sketches that we like always wanted made, but we just didn't have the resources, and it still they weren't going to be in the show. But he'd be like, "Here, take a Saturday. Here, go film it."
Yeah, the amount of material you guys made, I remember talking with you guys and other people just in passing during that time. You guys were just like constantly producing. It seemed like.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like we were, I think, especially for us two who were out in LA visiting. You know, other people writing on the show who are great, like Sean Clements, Dom Dierkes, all these LA guys. We didn't have lives, so we would literally be writing like 24 hours a day. Like
those first couple of weeks, we literally would go home and just talk on GChat till 4 a.m. and just be writing sketch after sketch, and then wake up at 7 and then keep writing.
It was so it was like, is this a good idea? I'd like GChat Chris and be like, is this a good idea? And there'd just be like a long waiting period, and be like, no.
Craig went to the bathroom once and then came out, and he's like, I have an idea. It's called Time Travel What?
Time Travel Pie.
And he's like, is that a good idea? I was like, I love it. It's the best idea you've had. Write it up. And it did not go well.
I pitched it in the room, and Bess was so great. He would cultivate like so many sketches. Like he'd be so supportive. And this one, he was just like, I'm going to pass. But
for so long, we're like, okay, but here's the deal, though. So it's like he time travels.
the idea is it's a pie that time travels and nothing happens. You just see a pie pop up in a different time, like caveman time, and then it just disappears. Nothing happens. But I will like to announce that will be my girlfriend and I are making that into a comic strip. So at some point, that will exist.
Thank God, because I've read the script for Time Travel Pie, because you read it a couple of times in Beneath Christine.
I've brought it back way too many times. It's a passion project. But that's
listening to this podcast is going to be like, oh, yeah, I've read Time Travel Pie.
It's made to every other medium.
But it's cool, because we would write like so much stuff that we were like, I can't tell if this is good because I've written 15 things today. And Besser would be like, oh, you know, there's a show like at midnight. I'll find you a couple spots. Just memorize it or get a couple actors and just put it up real quick and we'll see if it works. So he would find us slots like that night. So we'd write all day and then rehearse, then perform it, film it, see if it works, see if it didn't. So
that's interesting because it's listening to you talk about it, it's like you got into this kind of zone just producing so much material, constantly producing material, almost to the point where you're not even really second guessing it anymore. You don't have the time to really think about it. So you're just churning it out and then leaving it to other people to bounce off of and tell you whether it's a good idea or not.
Yeah, that was like the great part was, you know, you'd bring in every day either a couple like one pagers or a draft of a sketch or just an idea. And then you, like the best feeling was like when you'd crack something in the room or like you had this nugget of an idea and then, you know, the room was so good and Besser's so good that you'd be able to like expand on it and turn it into something that wasn't just, you know, like Time Travel Pie died. I don't know why, but like some sketches that, you know, also that you weren't sure about would become great sketches, and it was an awesome experience in that way, like being in that type of room.
And it was cool because there was just a lot of like different sensibilities in the room, and like I thought Bester did a really good job of like collecting a bunch of different people with different like senses of humor, and like was really open to all of them. So I don't know, I thought that was really nice.
Like, you have a bad sense of humor.
Yeah, like, I have a terrible sense of humor. And he would be like, I don't think this is funny. Like, this isn't technically comedy, but he would still let me read it. You know what I mean? I brought in chapters of a book I'm working on.
And it's a terrible book, but...
It's not even a good novel, right? Novelist.
There's no form of art that it adheres to any kind of rules.
You I got nothing.
Why is it called The Show Will Get You High?
Well, I think it's a philosophy. I think Besser's idea was he wanted a show that was like an experience, that it would be like sort of when you'd watch it, you'd feel a certain like way. And I think the way he wanted you to feel was high. Yeah. So it's like sort of that thing where it's like like it would sort of turn you onto the show, and it would be this weird experience, fun experience. And I think like a lot of the sketches sort of capture that. Like, I think it definitely is like, you know, really funny, strong sketches with a great, like, specific sensibility.
It's going to become like the kind of thing where somebody's just going to be up watching it at 4 some kid in high school right now who's thinking about doing comedy. Yeah. He's going to see it. Then like 7 years from now, he'll be like at some place like this, or, you know, talking to someone who's about to become his best friend. Like, did you ever see this show?
Yeah.
She'll get you high. Yeah, he'll be like, yes.
Yeah.
What was with, you know, the LA Marathon. That guy throw up that hammy, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Time travel pie is the only thing that show was missing. Whatever.
Well, wait, everybody at that point, everybody's gonna be bonding about time travel pie. Yeah, but no, that's the cool thing. Like, I do think that it is cool. Like, when you find those things that hit your sensibility, and hopefully
to me,
this will.
The show feels reminiscent of like those kinds of alternative, awesome fringe comedy shows, like The Idiot Box from MTV, or like Liquid Television, also, and like back when MTV had a lot of like late night, awesome, really defining comedy shows. It is one of those. It does sound one of those things, like one of those things where like you gotta see this.
Oh, have you seen this? And then you talk about it like forever.
Yeah, it's cool. It just has like a really like fun, like manic energy. Like, I don't know. I love
it. The completest in me wants someone to gather everything that this team produced, whether it's in the show, the live version of the show, or the man in the street version of the show, and stuff that like we're putting up on the website now, which will not be in the show, but was also made with that production. Stuff that was written and maybe not, you know, the story you were saying, like, oh, let's just film it anyway, and we'll have that video just in case.
Yeah.
Want it all. I want everything. Yeah. This show will make you high. Complete box set. Yeah, you take care of that, John. That seems like up your alley.
Okay, sure. I'll cultivate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I'll
you
get
so
right
much.
On it.
Wow, that's really generous.
Like a smile sessions, but for this.
It'll come out in 35 years.
Well, I gotta deal with the rhino people, you know, and they take a long time.
What you guys have been doing a lot of other stuff since you got back too, right, Chris? Why don't you talk a little about your onion cred?
My onion cred?
Yeah,
I'm back at the Onion. I worked there before I went on this show, and now I'm just back there for the Onion News Network. I'm a writer and I'm a director there, so that's what I'm doing now.
It's more awesome than that. Didn't you start sort of as a production person, and then you were submitting scripts, and enough of you got moved into writing, and now you're the director? I feel like.
Yeah, I did. I realized it was 4 years ago. I've been there for as long as I was in college, which is weird. But yeah, I started as an intern back before the videos even launched, and just kind of, you know, started like submitting headlines, you know, here and there. And then it was really, really didn't get anything through for the longest time submitting headlines. It was just the worst. And then it takes a while to like figure out the voice of it. And then got more through. And then I occasionally they made a video or two, and then I started getting more and more videos made. And then they let me start writing scripts, and I would just sit in on the writers' meeting as an intern for a while, like back when like Chris Gethard and Dominic Dierkes and them were like, and Michael Delaney were in the group,
right?
And just like try to like learn and listen, and then I started writing scripts, and then after the pilot ended, I came back like right as I came back, they asked me to be a staff writer and a director, so
cool.
That's what I've been doing.
Nice.
Doing now. I don't know.
And Craig,
he downplayed it at the beginning, didn't he? But
he did
awesome.
Downplay it, but it's pretty awesome. So I wanted him to show off. And Chris teaches for us here.
Is awesome. Is also awesome.
You know? What's that?
The humility is also awesome.
And Chris,
there's so much about me that's awesome. Oh, I ruined the humility.
And Chris teaches sketch here, and you were on Mod Night for a long time, and now you're directing Mod Teams now.
Piece of shit, I'm on Mod Teams still.
Oh, are you still?
Snap.
What Mod Team?
Tell me what your favorite Mod sketches that I've done recently.
No, I haven't seen Mod Night in 15 years. Last time I saw Mod Night, Alan Alda was on Mod Night.
He's still on Mod Night.
Is he still? Oh, Jesus!
He sits in with Gramps all the time.
Keeps bringing in the same MASH sketch.
I quit Mod Night for a while, and then. I'm back on Stone Cold Fox now.
Oh, okay.
I've directed occasionally, randomly. But
that used to be my thing, knowing everything was going on. But
yeah,
I'm out of it. Cool. Well, that's. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad to hear that. I feel like I first got to know of you on your first run at Mod Night on 27 Kidneys. What a team!
I was on that team too. Later.
Yeah, that's right. And you are still now.
You're really insulting all of us. You have no knowledge.
Yeah, it's true.
And Craig, tell us, aside from Time Travel Pie, I know
which
you,
is
you,
all
you,
I've been focused.
You probably don't have any room in your schedule other than
through his resume already.
What else? What more is there to say? I was working on the first season of Pretty Good Sports Show, which we talked about on a podcast a couple weeks ago. So right. listen to the backlog, and then for the last month, a little more than a month, I was working on this other Comedy Central show called Night of Too Many Stars, which was a benefit for autism, which just aired on Thursday, which is a show put together by Robert Smigel, which was amazing. Got to work with like a ton of people that I grew up watching. Similar to this too, like when I heard I was working with Besser, it was like amazing. And so that was a great experience working with a ton of people, writing for people like, you know, John Stewart, ever heard of him?
So, I have not heard of him. Is he on Mon
Night?
He's
on Mon
Night.
Yeah. No, but it was like this. It was a really cool, cool experience as well. So that's something. I just got back actually yesterday from LA working on that.
Nice,
great.
And then I'm going to be a four-part Time Travel Pie anthology. you can get the origin story, which is it being baked. that you can get that as on iTunes. It's just. It's really great.
But it's baked in the future, which is so weird because of the time travel.
It's baked in two different dimensions, one in the future, one in the past.
That's the title of one of the installments, is Baked to the Future.
Oh, Jesus. How did that terrible bit get worse?
You think that's bad, but that now that might get used.
That'll be the cleverest part.
You kind of briefly touched on something that I wanted to return to is in terms of learning from being in that room with Besser and learning from him, what he looks for in writing and comedy, and that, you know, I mean, we're at the school that he, you know, helped start, and we're learning these philosophies that, you know, come down partly from him. So what is it like being so close to kind of getting it directly from there?
And if I may make that question more difficult,
yeah.
Were there even like certain things you learned? I'm feeling like Besser did the original UCB show, so this is another sketch show he's doing. I wonder like how his thinking changed. I wish there was a way, because I know they originally were going after Harold stuff, show-wide thematic stuff. So I wonder if a lot of this show was in reaction to that. Like, no, this time we're going a different way and doing, you know, just for a variety or whatever reason. Address all those points.
I don't know. Well, first of all, I was just so we talked about this while we were out there. We were just so excited that we even had the opportunity to submit. You know what I mean? Because there's so many. Just the fact that he went out of his way to reach out to like New York people who he'd never met. Like I had never spoken to him before. So it was very very cool to like on the first day, you know, meet him and get to write with him. But I think one thing I noticed, he said this a lot too, especially when we were doing a lot of the Man on the Street stuff, where we would go to like places and like perform characters with people, is that he didn't really want to prank people so much. He didn't want to like pull one over on someone or be mean to somebody or be mean-spirited or prank them. He wanted to be like, oh, you're doing this fun thing. I want to do this fun thing with you as this character, which is the LA Marathon is not, that's more of a prank.
Although that's not on the show.
Yeah, it's not on the show, but like, the show has like a fun energy to it, and it's not mean-spirited. It's like celebrating these kind of
That's different. The original UCB show obviously had every episode some kind of man on the street.
And I think that was a direct reaction, because I know Besser would reference that show and say that he wanted to get it. And I think that's also part of the idea of this show will get you high, is the idea was traveling to places and getting people involved in it make it an experience rather than you're the butt of the joke, which I think sometimes the things would waver on the line in a way, because sometimes it's you get a bigger reaction when it's something when it's a little more antagonistic. Not that these were, but like with the LA Marathon one, for example. But I think that was something that he wanted to get away from a little bit and move around with other different stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other 4 points of that question?
I think you basically hit on them. As I was asking, you know, what it's like to work directly with him. So I think you kind of got
it. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was awesome. You know, I watched, Upper Citizens Brigade when it was on TV and was a big fan of the show. And, it was really cool. And Besser really can crack sketches. One interesting thing that I liked that he asked – and I sometimes ask this classes once in a while, which I think is a great thing, is like, where did this idea come from? Like, when you're writing a sketch, like,
What
was the initial thing that made you laugh? Yeah, and I think that's something that we discussed at the table that I hadn't really, you know, something that you think of, like, oh, this is how I thought of that. Like, Time Travel probably thought of in the bathroom. But it was good to sort of, like, crack that idea, like, where did you... What's the initial thing that made you laugh, and then expanding from that? And I thought that's a really good question that I sort of go back to.
It's very improv-y. When Besser does his improv workshops, it's all about like the opening. What really makes you laugh in the opening? How can you preserve that without messing with it in your first beats?
Sometimes that is the thing. excuse me. You have this idea of this thing that makes you laugh, and you go to write it, and something in translation gets lost. Get it on the page the way it is in your head.
Yeah.
And so you need to then talk it through and have maybe an outside perspective help get you on track.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about how he like had so many different like sensibilities in the room, which was great. So sometimes he'd read a sketch, and even if it wasn't his cup of tea or he didn't get what it was funny about it, he would ask like, why we thought it was funny or like why other people seemed to be laughing. And he really was open to different senses of humor that maybe weren't his exactly. But it was also cool because every week he had like new people coming in. So a lot of people like just worked for like 1 week. And so every week there was like a whole new group of 6 people. So we had tons and tons of material to read. I don't know where I was going with that, but it was cool. There were dozens of writers on the show.
Yeah. And I think that's another cool part about, what was great about working with Besser is he's so, and Chris mentioned is like, he brought us from New York, like he wanted to get people involved. You know, like even on the DVR thing for This Show Will Get You High, which I just said today, it was like up-and-comers from UCB theater. And I think he really wanted to get people from the theater involved. And that's what was awesome about, you know, working in LA was we met so many people from the West Coast who were working there. And he really cultivates that. And he knows what's going up on. You know, he would know what was on Mod Night in L.A. or he'd ask people if they saw good stuff at Mod Night while we were there, which I thought was really cool. Which, I mean, I guess that's a no-brainer because he runs the theater. But to me, he doesn't need to watch shows ask how the shows are
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. That's the cool difference is like, he could run the theater and just never be there and just be like, I run this theater, you know, but somebody who's so still involved and passionate about it is great.
It was really cool. I mean, we would go to Mod Night sometimes and it would be like, a lot of us had like flips that we would just keep on us like to film our own stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, if you see a good sketch on Mod Night, film it. And if you like it, we'll reach out to them and get their script and it could be in the show. I mean, he really wanted like as many people at the theater to have a shot at this as possible, which he didn't have to do. And it was so much better because he did. Yeah.
I saw you guys when I was in L.A. I went to L.A.
Oh, that's right. You like were with Get Psyched, the book, which is a great show.
And I saw I was there for one or two nights. And one of those nights I went to Birds, which is the bar next to the UCB L.A. Theater. And in walks Chris Kelly and Craig Rowan as if it was McManus.
Yeah. Huh.
Like I was already hanging out with like the New York expatriates.
Yeah.
Just saying hello. And I was like, did I go anywhere?
We were saying that was the coolest thing about when we went there because we didn't think we were going to know a lot of people. But it's like, everyone we know is in LA, like, because everyone's moving there now, so it didn't feel weird or like we didn't know anyone. I don't know, I loved it.
It's awesome. It's cool. It's
Jill Donnelly and Nate Shelkey had just moved there, and we were all in 27 Kidneys together.
And so they still are.
Yeah, they still are.
With Alan Alda.
No, but it was great.
And get psyched the book, because that is
that's
also
what I was trying to get around to.
No, I will just say, but. I love that book. It's so good.
It's really funny. It's a great book. Yeah, I read it.
I was not fishing for any of
this. No.
While we're on the show, let's talk about it now that it's out. No, I'm
a fan.
I am a fan too. I read it.
I also am a fan.
Yeah.
Great. You don't know what it is.
It was the coolest thing about working on the show with you, how often Matt Besser talked about Get Psyched. You know what I mean? He really loved that book. You know.
Yeah, he was like, I heard that a lot of sketches he would say, well, what was funny to you about Get Psyched, the book?
It's a question we're starting to ask in all of our sketch classes.
It's something I ask my students when I'm teaching to my sketch classes now.
It's sort of the gold standard. And, but it
so
is,
what is this? I think we should wrap this up.
Sure.
Say when the show is on again.
It's on Wednesday at 3 a.m., Thursday at 4:30 a.m., and then next Monday at 4 a.m. And yeah, DVR it.
Everybody to watch this, DVR it. Let's get everybody who hears this, get everyone you know.
Watch it live too. You know, like
we're gonna go to Craig's apartment.
Yeah, we'll. Now I actually half expect you to do it. So like I'm a little worried.
It's not. I might do it.
Yeah, stay up. Get the full experience of watching it when it's actually on.
Yeah.
It'll be like you're one of the people who bought the first Velvet Underground album before anybody knew what was going on. You'll be one of the cool people for the rest of your life.
It'd be just like that.
Velvet Underground a mod team?
They're a mod team, yeah.
Just get really psyched to watch the
show. Oh, great. Chris Kelly, everybody.
All right. Thank you to Chris Kelly and Craig Time Travel Pie Rowan.
in bookstores next February.
I love how much we talked about that sketch.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
If Besser listens to this, he won't even remember that sketch.
Well, he actually defined our time.
Here's one other thing. Like, he passed on this sketch, and I really did like. I did believe in it, and I was just like, it hurts a little bit when somebody's like, oh no. And
sure.
then Curtis Gwynn was in the room that week. He was working on the show. And I got an email and he goes, I like time travel.
In the room.
Everybody. I have a feeling after this podcast drops, there's going to be a web movement to get that sketch made.
I'm telling Facebook you, it's coming. I'm not joking that my girlfriend is working on the drawing for one.
I heard
the
Time Travel Pie is hosting the last episode of SNL this season because of
and
what happened on Facebook.
Harold Knight next week as
yes,
well.
Yes, that's right. All right, guys. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks everybody watch. The show will get you high. And we'll be back next week probably with another one of these things.
What's that? We have to believe.
Yes, have faith. So thanks, everybody, and listen next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.